ever wonder? Do you ever question? In my server serving me? Your computer will print. Should you call the president? What in the world are you gonna do? Call Adam, the computer guy. Call Adam. Don't know the reason why. Do you find it a waste of time? Because you cannot get online. Call Adam, the computer guy. Or go online to AdamTheComputerGuy.com. There's a click of the mouse.
Well, yes, it is I, Adam the Computer Guy, with my twice weekly radio show here on Marion's Talking Place. WWGH1071.com and WWGH on your FM dial. Yes, you can listen the old-fashioned way at 107.1 frequency modulation units on your home, car, or office stereo system. How about that? You may ask, well, what do we do here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show? Well, we have fun, of course. That's always the number one thing in the radio business. But we talk today's top technology topics, be they about security at your home or office network, things that are tech-related, such as robotics technology and newfangled gadgetry in the medical business, perhaps a new video game or other toy for kids of all ages that may be on the horizon. Normally, we do take your telephone calls, and if you're following me on Facebook, you may have seen my request to contact me. However, there is some technical issue with our telephone line currently, and honestly, I'm not quite sure what it is, but I'm not able to use the phone at this time. So we will get that resolved. Again, I'm not sure of the problem. What you can do, though, if you'd like to speak with me in some fashion during the show, and I'd love to do that, is you can go ahead and send me a message on Facebook. My Facebook name is Adam the Computer Guy. Just search me, and there I am in my full glory. Send me a message on Facebook, and we can kind of discuss things that way, as your participation in this program is always something that is very much welcome. Many technology stories currently in the mix, of course, with the election and all the politicking in these parts. That's always a big issue. We'll probably discuss some politically related tech stories a little later in the show. But first, I wanted to tell you about the new MacBook Pro. Maybe you've been hearing some rumors about a new, improved, and otherwise fantastically fabulous MacBook Pro. Early Christmas present, perhaps. It's expected to launch this fall. It'll have a Touch ID power button and a touch-sensitive OLED strip, which will replace the physical function keys on the keyboard. And that's been reported by Bloomberg and a website called 9to5.com. Mac. The strip reportedly will bring up functions appropriate to the application that's in use. For example, it may display media playback controls when a user opens iTunes. It also might display editing commands, such as cut and paste, when a word processing program is running. The strip may allow Apple to add new buttons through software updates rather than hardware refreshes. Laura DiDio, she's an expert in these kind of things. She said, if you're a new user or a younger or more flexible and adaptable person, you'd think the strip is great. Media playback controls when iTunes is open, editing commands during word processing. I can see kids catching fire with this. However, she said there's still that not-so-silent contingent of traditionalists out there who want to remain with the status quo. Still, you have to constantly reinvent yourself as a vendor. The new MacBook Pros will be slightly thinner than current models and have a smaller footprint. The thinner form factor is generating interest. You might see some people bringing the new MacBook Pros with them on the road, according to the expert Laura DiDio. The possibility that Apple will bring Touch ID fingerprint technology to the MacBook Pro line also would be well received. The new MacBook Pros will use one of AMD's Polaris graphics cards, which are more than 20% thinner than predecessors, and will include USB-C ports, according to Bloomberg. Apple last refreshed the MacBook Pro almost 3 years ago. Now, of course, with computers, 3 years is almost like 30 or 40 human years, back in December of 2013. Lin Huang, research director at IDC, said, "I think the MacBook lineup, in general, is due for a major refresh. That's not to say that the products are bad in any way, shape, or form. Apple's still a leader in design, and of course, OS X keeps their lineup insulated from the rest of the PC market. However, Apple cannot afford to have their lineup get stale, given that the other PC original equipment manufacturers are rapidly closing the gap, if not outright exceeding Apple in design leadership." Dell and HP have both launched fantastically designed ultra-slim notebooks in the last couple of years. And of course, there's much exciting innovation occurring between the lines as tablets and PC form factors emerge. One idea that's gained some traction is that Apple is refreshing the MacBook Pro line to offset falling iPad sales. Lin Huang said, "I'm not sure that's Apple's intention, given that the two categories exist in different stratospheres. The new iPad Pro line is Apple's intended shot at reinvigorating iPad refreshes. I think that the MacBook look and feel has not evolved much as of late and is due for a major update." And that's from Lin Huang, a research director at IDC, expert in these kinds of things. Now, the MacBook Pro refresh, assuming these reports are accurate, and of course, especially with the current political climate, you never quite know if something is true or false or somewhere in the middle. That's the usual case. It would suggest that we're into the Tim Cook years, driven by pragmatic business decisions rather than the flash and genius that we came to know from Steve Jobs. That came from Laura DiDio, expert in the field. We quoted her earlier. She said, "Even Steve Jobs couldn't be Steve Jobs every quarter and come out with the next best thing." Apple had a run of 8 quarters of consecutive strong year-over-year growth of its MacBook lineup, starting in the fourth quarter of 2013, after an underwhelming 2015 holiday quarter, and what will now be 2 disastrous quarters to open 2016. Perhaps Apple feels the pressure to make that update now. So some news there in the Apple MacBook, their flagship laptop, and what they're planning on doing. And I'd love to hear your opinion. You can email me directly at the studio. Again, unfortunately, due to some technical considerations, our telephone lines are not functioning. We will certainly get that fixed ASAP. But for now, please send me an email at adam@wwgh1071.com. We have lots of great programming here on Marian's Talking Place, WWGH. Of course, my show, one of the One of the shows you hear regularly on this fine station, now coming up after me, it is our local radio legend, Mr. Charlie Evers. He'll be on between about 12 minutes after 10 in the a.m. until noon. Now, Charlie Evers is a walking encyclopedia and repository of opinions and stories and flashbacks about Marion and the entire mid-Ohio area. Don't want to miss his show. Always a surprise or two. You can always learn a few things. I always do when I listen. And if you miss a show, that's okay, because we understand you can't always listen to the radio 24 hours a day as much as I'd like to. It just isn't possible. So you can go to our website at WWGH1071.com and listen on demand to archives of all of our shows going back to approximately early January, which is when I started at the station. So how about that? We also have the Phyllis Schlafly Report periodically throughout the day here. Phyllis Schlafly, she's about 95 years old, and she's still on the radio. How about that? She is a conservative commentator. Scott has her on the show fairly frequently, in fact. On today's Phyllis Schlafly Report, again heard several times just after the top of the hour on WWGH, Phyllis confirms that it's the legislature voted on by the people, not the federal government, and not supremacist judges that should make laws concerning the funding of public schools. Tomorrow, you know how quite often guilty criminals are set free on a legal technicality? Well, on the TGIF Phyllis Schlafly Report, tomorrow, Phyllis reports on a recent court ruling that may help put a stop to guilty criminals being set free on a legal technicality. Don't want to miss that interesting conversation. Whether or not you agree with her, that's okay. I mean, political commentary certainly will invite, encourage, and warrant a little controversy. So no problem whatsoever with that. Please do listen. Phyllis is a person with a long-standing wealth of knowledge and opinions. Here on Marion's Talking Place, proud to present the Phyllis Schlafly Report, WWGH, and our website at WWGH1071.com. Of course, we're always interested in some of the news stories across my desk related to the information technology world. And, of course, with our very computer-dominated society, there's hardly a lack of topics. If you're in the video gaming business, or perhaps you are a gamer, you'll probably be interested in hearing about this. One of the most highly anticipated gaming titles ever, called No Man's Sky, from independent developer Hello Games, has arrived. And it could have a major impact on the resurgent gaming world, especially with the Christmas season approaching. Of course, Christmas season seems to start earlier every year. At this point, it pretty much starts after Labor Day, so get your trees and Santa suits out, because it'll be here soon. A couple days ago, last Tuesday the 9th, the title made its PS4 debut here in North America, and yesterday in Europe. It'll be available for the PC tomorrow. So how's that for some up-to-the-minute contemporary news? Again, it's called No Man's Sky, a highly anticipated gaming title from independent developer Hello Games. The long-awaited game takes players on a mind-bending journey of space exploration, allowing them to take a deep dive into distant planets filled with deep water oceans, as well as alien life forms and unseen threats. No Man's Sky is the latest and most ambitious work of Sean Murray, who previously led the company's development of Joe Danger. Expectations for the release are riding high, and the company has placed a great deal of pressure on itself to give the very best experience possible. According to, again, Sean Murray, the main developer of this long-anticipated game, we're under a pretty intense spotlight right now. And hopefully, it's easy to imagine how hard, there you go, it would be to switch off from that, or how deeply we care about people's first impression of the game. Now, fans will not see everything they want in the initial launch of No Man's Sky, but updates to support multiplayer capability to allow players to build bases and own space freighters, and other new features are in the works. As one of the biggest PS4 games of the year so far, No Man's Sky has a lot riding on it. That's according to Steve Bailey, expert in the field, analyst for games at IHS Markit. However, it's not likely that the title will sell as many copies as another big one, Uncharted 4. Still, according to Steve Bailey, PlayStation is visibly proud of the game, as it's been given as much limelight during the company's E3 conferences over the past few years. PS4 is the main format associated with the game, so any positive reception for the title will benefit the platform. The question from here on out is how the game is evolving through official patching, and how much that support contrasts with the mods and hacks that will become available for the PC version. For a game this ambitious, post-release iterations could drastically change what No Man's Sky represents 1 year from now. According to Digital Foundry, the overall take on the performance of No Man's Sky is positive. However, the frame rate for the title shows significant drop-off in some parts, according to a report posted by Digital Foundry, and they kind of are a big player in the gaming analysis field. The target for PlayStation 4 is a rate of 30 frames per second. Now, when the No Man's Sky game engine is placed under high stress, which can happen when landing on a new planet, the rate falls to just 13 frames per second. The frame rate issues go away when simple workarounds are implemented. Despite the interest in No Man's Land, the new title is the beneficiary more of fortunate timing than of a great experience or track record. Comes from another expert in the field, Lewis Ward. He said, "I hate to be the one to turn the lights on at the No Man's Sky party, but I doubt it'll be a big seller. It's an independent game that came along at the right time to catch a big marketing push by Sony. No Man's Sky is a high-concept game that's doing some cool stuff, but it would be surprising if it sold a million copies in its first week. It is launching without competition from other high-profile PS4 titles, but since Madden, NFL, and Due EX are due later this month, No Man's Sky must make hay while the sun, I mean starlight, shines." And that's from an expert in the field, Lewis Ward. So, a little bit of controversy, as you might expect, with this much-heralded video game. Of course, I would think with all the Pokemoning poking around that anything in the gaming business would warrant and receive a lot of attention. So let me know if this is an important story to you, or you're saying, well, so what? Or are you anticipating this game? Do you plan on buying it as a holiday gift? Are we allowed to say Christmas? I guess we could say Christmas. A holiday gift, or Christmas, or Hanukkah, or Kwanzaa, or New Year's, or Thanksgiving gift for yourself, or a child or kid of any age. Hey, let me know what you think. Send me an email. That's always a good thing to do. Adam at WWGH1071.com. So it's not really been a good recent couple years for Volkswagen. If you're a Facebook follower of mine, well, thank you very much. I did talk about this story, and I'm going to go into it in more detail because I think it's fairly important. Of course, the issue with their emissions, yes, from their diesel engines and not being honest about that. Now they've got some other problems. 3 years ago, when University of Birmingham computer scientist Flavio Garcia, that's a great name, Flavio Garcia. Anyway, when he and a team of researchers were preparing to reveal a vulnerability that allowed them to start the ignition of millions of Volkswagen cars and drive them off without a key, they were hit with a lawsuit that delayed the publication of their research for 2 years. But that experience does not seem to have deterred Garcia and his colleagues from probing more of Volkswagen's flaws. So again, there's a security risk, a rather serious one, where you can essentially hack into a Volkswagen and start the ignition without a key. So anyway, a year after that hack was finally publicized, Garcia and a new team of researchers are back with another paper that shows how Volkswagen left not only its ignition vulnerable, but the keyless entry system that unlocks the vehicle doors also. And this time, they say, the flaw applies to practically every Volkswagen car that has been sold since 1995. So again, very serious problem, not really a very good time for Volkswagen. Earlier this month, at the USENIX security conference in Austin, Texas, a team of researchers from the University of Birmingham and the German engineering firm Kasper and Oswald plan to reveal two distinct vulnerabilities that they say affect the keyless entry systems of an estimated nearly 100 million cars. And that'll be actually a little later this month. Hasn't happened yet, but it's possibly going to take place tomorrow. But again, we don't have an exact date, but it's certainly on the media agenda. And again, an important issue where you can, any of the Volkswagen cars sold in the last 21 years, they can essentially be hacked into and you can start the ignition without a key. So again, pretty serious stuff. And from an IT and security standpoint, rather intriguing. Anyway, one of the attacks would allow resourceful thieves to unlock wirelessly practically every vehicle that the Volkswagen Group has sold for the last two decades. That includes Audi and Skoda, which are essentially subdivisions of Volkswagen. The second attack affects millions of more vehicles, including Alfa Romeo, Peugeot, Citroën, Fiat, even Ford, Mitsubishi, Nissan, and Opel. Which I'm glad I drive a Chevrolet. Anyway, both attacks use a cheap, easily available piece of radio hardware to intercept signals from a victim's key fob, then employ those signals to clone the key. The attacks, the researchers say, can be performed with a software-defined radio connected to a laptop or in a cheaper and stealthier version. An Arduino board with an attached radio receiver that you can buy for only $40. Flavio Garcia said the cost of the hardware is small and the design is trivial. You can really build something that functions exactly like the original remote. Of the two attacks, the one that affects Volkswagen is probably more troubling, if only because it offers drivers no warning at all that their security has been compromised and requires intercepting only a single button press. The researchers found that with some tedious reverse engineering of one component inside of Volkswagen's internal network, they were able to extract a single cryptographic key value shared among millions of Volkswagen vehicles, by then using their radio hardware to intercept another value that's unique to the target vehicle and included in the signal sent every time a driver presses the key fob's buttons. They can combine the two supposedly secret numbers to clone the key fob and get access to the car. Birmingham researcher David Oswald said you only need to eavesdrop once. From that point on, you can make a clone of the original remote control that locks and unlocks a vehicle as many times as you want. The attack isn't exactly simple to pull off. Radio eavesdropping, according to the researchers, requires that the thief's interception equipment be located within 300 feet of the intended target vehicle. And while the shared key that's also necessary for the theft can be extracted from one of the Volkswagen's internal components, that shared key value isn't quite universal. There are several different keys for different years and models of Volkswagen vehicles, and they are stored in different internal components. These researchers are not revealing which components they extracted the keys from to avoid tipping off potential car hackers, but they warn that if sophisticated reverse engineers are able to find and publicize those shared keys, each one could leave tens of thousands of vehicles vulnerable. Just the four most common ones are used in almost, check this out, 100 million Volkswagen vehicles sold in the past 20 years. They say that only the most recent Volkswagen Golf 7 model and others that share its locking system have been designed to use unique keys and thus are immune to this kind of an attack. The second technique that the researchers plan to reveal at Usenix attacks a cryptographic scheme called HiTag 2, which is decades old but still used in millions of vehicles. So, old reliable there. For that attack, they didn't need to extract any keys from a car's internal components. Instead, a hacker would have to use a radio setup similar to the one used in the Volkswagen hack to intercept 8 of the codes from the driver's key fob, which in modern vehicles includes one rolling code number, which changes unpredictably with every button press. To speed up the process, they suggest that their radio equipment could be programmed to jam the driver's key fob repeatedly, so that he or she would repeatedly press the button, allowing the attacker to quickly record multiple codes. With that collection of rolling codes as a starting point, the researchers found that flaws in the HiTag 2 scheme would allow them to break the code in as little as 1 minute. No good cryptographer today would propose such a scheme, according to the lead researcher, Mr. Flavio Garcia. Volkswagen did not immediately respond to a request for comment, but the researchers wrote in their paper that Volkswagen acknowledged that the vulnerabilities that they found, NXP, which is a semiconductor company which sells chips using this vulnerable HiTag 2 crypto system to car makers, says that it's been recommending customers upgrade to newer schemes for years. NXP spokesperson June Knoppen said HiTag 2 is a legacy security algorithm introduced in 1998. Again, 18 years is a lot in the computer and IT business. Since 2009, it has been gradually replaced by more advanced algorithms. Our customers are aware, as NXP has been recommending, not to use HT2 for new projects and design-ins 4 years. While the researchers' two attacks both focus on merely unlocking cars rather than stealing them, Flavio Garcia points out that they might be combined with techniques like the one he and different teams revealed at a conference 4 years ago, and they also discussed it last year. That research exposed vulnerabilities in the HiTag 2 and Megamos immobilizer systems, which prevent cars from being driven without a key, and would allow millions of Volkswagens and other vehicles including Audis and Cadillacs and even Porsches, to be driven by thieves, provided they could get access to the inside of the vehicle. Plenty of evidence suggests that that sort of digitally enabled car theft is already occurring. So again, this is a troubling problem, and not just among these Volkswagens, but kind of a universal issue. So we need to improve security on your computer and also in your car. All this automated, computerized, fancy stuff is nice, but if it's not secure and allows someone to steal your car with a few hacks, becomes rather dangerous. Police have been stumped by videos of cars being stolen with little more than a mystery electronic device. In one case from a few weeks ago, thieves in Texas, check this out, thieves in Texas just a few weeks ago stole more than 30 Jeeps using a laptop, seemingly connected to the vehicle's internal network via a port on its dashboard. Flavio Garcia said, "I personally received inquiries from police officers who added that they had footage of thieves using a so-called black box to break into cars and drive them away. This was partly our motivation to look into it." A fix for the problem for car companies they've uncovered will not be easy, according to, again, the lead researcher and developer Flavio Garcia. He said these vehicles have a very slow software development cycle. They're not able to respond very quickly with new designs. Until then, they suggest that car owners with affected vehicles simply avoid leaving any valuables in their car. A vehicle is not a safe box. Careful drivers should even consider giving up on their wireless key fobs altogether and instead open and lock their car doors the old-fashioned mechanical way. But really, they point out, their research should signal to automakers that all of their systems need more security. Scrutiny. The same sort of vulnerabilities apply to more critical driving systems. Flavio Garcia said it's a bit worrying that to see security techniques from the 1990s used in new vehicles. If we want to have secure, autonomous, interconnected vehicles, that has to change. So this also has some major repercussions with a favorite topic of mine, the autonomous vehicles or self-driving cars or other types of engine-driven items. Let me know what you think. I find this quite troubling. It's certainly Volkswagen's at the forefront, and they're still dealing with this diesel emission issue, but other makers, even some fancy ones like Peugeot and Porsche, can be affected. Send me an email. I'd love to hear what you have to say. Adam@WWGH1071.com. And by the way, if you'd like to be a regular or guest or a one-time commentator on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, well, that would just be fantastic. We can discuss any of the topics that have been discussed during our radio discussion. Bring up a new one. If you don't agree with something I say, you wanted some more information, or you do agree, well, anything like that, that's all fine and dandy, because we love to talk about stuff. A little controversy is always welcome. Send me an email, adam@wwgh1071.com. One of my frequent commentators, a longtime friend and business associate of mine, is Mr. Nick C.J. He listens, and he's probably listening right now. Hello, Nick. Of course, it's afternoon there, so good afternoon there in Wales. He is a man with a plethora of interesting information and knowledge, and again, always an opinion or two. Let's hear what he has to say today.
Another recent funny on the speed of internet front that we have happen here in Wales. I'm in a little village called Bochrwd, which is spelt Bowrwd, which is near Lyswen, and our exchange is about 2 kilometres away, about a mile. And we've been promised super fast broadband, which for us would be about 30 megabytes a second, since last December, not the one that's just gone, the one before that. And We finally got news that we're definitely going to have it in May of this year, May 2016. And so I was overjoyed. I contacted the broadband company and said, can we sign up for this? I was told that the broadband would be in Liswen, our local village, but I couldn't connect because all of my phone lines went into Cabinet 2, and the cabinet which is going to be connected to Superfast Broadband is Cabinet 3. I asked then if I could move all of my phone lines into Cabinet 3. It seemed a logical way round the problem. Ah, well, you'll see, we don't actually have any phone lines connected to Cabinet 3 at the moment. We're working on that. So, just a little example of the exasperation that we face in rural Wales here. Another local village has had the superfast broadband put in, and it's a village that's divided by a river, and they have a bridge over this river, and the provisioner has put in the superfast broadband into two cabinets, one each side of the river. And when I saw them, I stopped and inquired, what are you actually doing? Ah, we're putting in superfast broadband for the local populace, and we've put in 200 connections in each cabinet, each side of the river. I said, gosh, that's brilliant, but we've got 450 people that live each side of the river, so you're going to be short. Yes, well, we don't want to overdo it, do we? And that's another example of the wonders of living in remote rural Wales. Thanks, Adam.
Well, you're very welcome, Nick. Always glad to hear from him. He is a man with interesting opinions and fine insight. And again, as we like to do here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, always a surprise or two. Also, if you would like to be a sponsor or underwriter of the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, I couldn't tell you how outstanding and awesome and fantastulabulous that would be. That's a combination of fantastic and fabulous, because that's what it would be. You will get regular mentions on this show and throughout the day on many of our other shows, and of course, prominently featured on our website. It's a very good deal. Pricing is excellent, and we have many faithful listeners. So please send me an email. We can talk about it. Adam@WWGH1071.com. Here's a story which is certainly stimulating a few minds, especially mine, and is causing a little bit of controversy. Let's talk about it for a little bit. It is the pig and human chimera, and it's where they are injecting human cells into a pig. Now, if that were to result in a sort of half pig, half human being, that would be a bit extraordinary and probably not a very good thing. But the purpose of this this research project, and it's hitting the news quite a bit, it is to create a pig that is essentially normal, except for having one organ, which is human, and that in this case is the pancreas. Now, for now, all of the fetuses that are being produced are destroyed for analysis after a month to check if the human cells are forming part of other organs also. Now, the research team has not revealed the results of these analyses. Having a few human cells in an otherwise normal pig brain would be okay, but if there are so many human cells that the brain takes on some human-like characteristics, that might not be okay. Anyway, to create these chimeras, they are using gene editing to destroy a gene critical for the development of the pancreas in pig embryos. Human stem cells capable of developing into any tissue are then injected into the developing pig embryo, and the embryo is implanted in a normal sow. So the pancreas in these fetuses should begin as human cells, but the human stem cells could contribute to other organs, including the brain. Now, pigs are, they're fairly intelligent, so
this is intriguing, and some people may say scary. If that does happen to be a problematic, extent, the next step would be to modify the human cells also, so they cannot develop into brain cells. Hiromitsu Nakuchi at the University of Tokyo, whose team was the first to show that organs of one animal could be grown in another, is already working on ways of modifying human stem cells to ensure they can only develop into specific organs. Now, if these experiments are a success, would they provide an unlimited supply of organs? Well, that's the hope of the scientists, but there's an awfully long way to go. And with any research, it doesn't always happen overnight. But just the very thought of this is worth taking note of. First, it's far from clear that these chimeric fetuses would develop to term and then become healthy adults. Many of the rat and mouse chimeras developed by this team fail to survive. And the gap between a pig and a human obviously is much greater than between a rat and a mouse. Secondly, even if the chimeric pancreases consist mostly of human cells, the blood vessels that supply them will still be pig blood vessels and would therefore be rejected if the organs were implanted into people. One potential solution is to disable the pig's ability to grow blood vessels, so the vessels are human also. Now, even this might not be enough. There still might be so many stray pig cells in these organs that they get rejected by the immune system when implanted into people. There are potential solutions like modifying the pigs so their cells don't express the proteins that trigger rejection. This is already being attempted by other teams that want to use normal pig organs, not chimeric ones, for transplantations. So you might ask, what are the benefits of this? I mean, my educational background is in chemistry. I've been very interested in science and medical technology and biotech since I knew what it was. And my feelings of this on this obviously are making my brain spin. And so I think it's important we talk about it, regardless of how you feel, because we are kind of playing God, and that's kind of where the controversy begins, and has many ramifications. The potential benefits, obviously, are huge. Many people die waiting for organs for a transplant, and even those that get them have to take immunosuppressive drugs that increase their risk of cancer and many other things. If this chimeric technique can be perfected, it could be used to create organs that are a perfect match for patients and eliminate the need for immunosuppressant drugs. What's more, growing organs in non-human animals should be much cheaper than tissue engineering them. If transplants become relatively cheap and safe, they could be used in situations where doctors would never dream of considering them today. It could become routine to replace aging organs as we grow older, allowing us to live longer, healthier lives. So a lot of stuff here. This is quite deep. Let me know what you think. I mean, there's certainly some controversy here. Adam at WWGH1071.com. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or record a conversation about this or other topics, I would just love to hear from you. Connect with me on Facebook, Adam the Computer Guy.
If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake.
Adam Lapp! Well, no cake, I'm on a diet, but if you choose to indulge, that's fine, because this show is worth celebrating, because we discuss important, topical, and oftentimes money-saving and life-enhancing topics from the world of technology. Adam Lepp here, Adam the Computer Guy. You can always visit my website, find out more about me, get my contact information at adamthecomputerguy.com. Well, I have good news and bad news, as my mama always said. The bad news is that my show is coming to a conclusion. I guess that would be conclusion. But don't despair, because when the bell rings at 10 a.m., that's 9 a.m. Central Time. Anyway, we have news and features, weather, some teasers from previous and past shows. I guess previous and past would mean the same. How about future shows? Even better. And then, our local radio legend, very own Mr. Charlie Evers. He takes the microphone about 12, 13 minutes after 10. Now, there's a man with a plethora of interesting stories. He's a walking encyclopedia of Mid-Ohio, and like myself, not one to shy away from the old wisecrack. So please stay tuned. Adam the Computer Guy here, inviting you to listen to my show, which will next be broadcast Tuesday, about 12 minutes after 9. Have a great rest of your Thursday. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.
This is WWG.